everybody. This is Justin Michael Williams with Motivation for Black People, giving you trusted guidance to make your life better. And I am recording this episode right now as helicopters are swirling, which you might hear in the background. And while sirens are screeching and while our hearts are hurting, and in the midst of all of this, my people, what I want you to remember is that we can overcome. Our people know how to overcome. Our ancestors know how to overcome. We can and we will overcome all of this together. And the way that we're going to do this is together. And I want you to know from the depth of my heart, no matter whether you've been listening to this podcast for years or if this is your first episode, that I love you and you are worthy. You are worthy not for what you do or how much money you have in your bank account, but you are worthy for who you are. And you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove. And so in this episode, my mission today is to speak life into our community more so that we can wake up to the brilliance and the power and the dignity and the abundance that is our birthright, my brothers and sisters. It is our birthright. And I know there's so much happening in the world right now. Look, if you look past in our episodes, I've taken a couple months off given the pandemic from this podcast to really search deeply in my soul about what I wanted to share on this podcast moving forward. And I could not be silent anymore. So I've come back for this special episode to speak to you about something that I think is crucial and important for you to hear today. And it's about how you are going to maintain your sanity and elevate your vibration and live in your highest heights given this time that we're in now. And what I want you to know, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, is our people know how to do this. We've done this for centuries, knowing how to hold the joy and the pain and the sorrow and the abundance and the celebration with the loss and the uncertainty. We can do this. You've been doing this. And right now, I need you to anchor into your heart and anchor into your practices more and more deeply. Call upon your prayer, call upon your ancestors, call upon God, spirit, whatever you call it, everything that you do, to keep yourself centered and aligned and balanced. We need it now. You need it now because this is our time, my brothers and sisters. This is that moment. This is that moment where we rise to the occasion. You know, I was thinking earlier today as I was talking to one of my friends, as I thought back on the civil rights era, which obviously we're still in today, but the classical civil rights era that we've heard about. And I've been thinking about, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and these leaders in the street and Rosa Parks and these people who were doing things and then the people around, and then asking myself, if I was alive then, what would I have done? And the biggest indicator of what you would have done then is what you're doing now. And this is not a call for you to step up and do something that feels out of alignment with your highest good and with your intentions and with what you can bring to the world. I'll be honest with you guys. So I was thinking last night, I live in Los Angeles, and my whole heart last night wanted to be out in the streets. I wanted to be out in the streets with the brothers and sisters who have been fighting tirelessly for our rights on the front lines, and I'm so grateful for them. And I sat and I said, Justin, now I need you to listen. And I watched this as a couple of my brothers were arrested last night. I said, Justin, how much good are you going to be if you're in jail? And Justin, you're not doing nothing, but you have a podcast, you have a platform, and this is how you can serve right now. And Justin, just by the way, you ain't street smart. So if anybody gonna end up arrested, it's gonna be you, and you're not doing any good there. And I wanna say it's the same thing to you. I'm not telling you not to go out and protest. I'm not telling you not to go out in the streets. What I'm telling you is, use the gifts and the talents and the skills that you have now to elevate humanity. Don't do what you think you're supposed to do. Don't do what other people expect of you to do. Don't do what you feel pressured to do. anchor into your heart and show up in the way that feels in the best alignment, in the highest good for all and for our people. And so on this episode today, I'm going to talk about a few different things, four things in particular that I've personally been doing to keep myself centered, but also to keep myself activated and making an impact during this time. And I'm going to talk about this in two different ways. I'm going to talk about what you need to do for you, and also what you can do if you feel called but not obligated for all of your white friends that are asking you and calling you and telling you how upset they are and asking what can they do and asking how you're doing. It's like, well, no shit. How do you think I'm doing? You know, it's like it can be so overwhelming sometimes. And so I want to give you some tips for those of you who feel called to share in that way as well. Because here's the thing. I need you to know that the trauma that we are facing as Black people, it is not your responsibility to educate or soothe or do anything to help white people through this. It is not your responsibility. But for some of us, we will feel called to share in a positive way because we know that the white people in our lives or the non-Black people in our lives who are on the side of justice and on the side of equality, we need them to stand with us. And so for those of you who feel called to share in that way, I'm going to tell you. And here's the thing, okay? I'm just going to keep it super real with you guys right now because I literally can't do anything else in this moment but that with everything going on is this. So I always say that the revolution starts inside. I say this in my book, right? It's all about the inner work. It's not about what you do, but it's about who you are. I want you to listen to me very carefully right now. If you take anything from me from this podcast, I want you to take this, okay? That statement, the revolution starts inside, means two very different things in this moment in history for white people than it does for Black people, okay? So when I'm talking about the inner work that needs to be done, for Black people, the inner work that needs to be done right now is us living in the joy and abundance and fullness of the human dignity and possibility and opportunity that is our birthright, despite and in the face of white supremacy and of these challenges. And I've learned so much about this from my sister, Layla Saad, who I just interviewed on the Woke Lab, which I did last week. I'll tell you more about that a little later. But our job is not to undo white supremacy inside of ourselves. Our job is to live in that fullness that is our birthright. That's the work that we have to do on ourselves to make sure that regardless of what's happening outside of us, regardless of what's happening in the news and all the shit that's coming at us, that we can still rise up and live these magical, beautiful lives that we deserve to live. That's what our ancestors fought for us for. That's the inner work that we need to do to take care of ourselves and know our self-worth enough to do that. Now, for white people, when I say the revolution starts inside and it's about the inner work, white people, what they should be doing is the inner work that it takes to dismantle white supremacy within themselves. Within themselves. Because if they're not doing the work within themselves, then even, and Layla Saad said this to me just 2 days ago, if they're not doing the work within themselves, then they end up doing more harm than they do good, even when they're trying to help. And right now, I'm not even talking about the white people who are totally extremist and wearing these MAGA hats and all that stuff. I'm talking about the quote unquote nice white people, the liberal white people, the white people who are your friends, who have good intentions, who are posting on social media, who are checking on you, who are asking what you're doing, the ones who have Black boyfriends and Black girlfriends and Black kids. Those are the white people who desperately need to be doing this deep work right now. And the work is to dismantle and go inside and dismantle the white supremacy that's living within that they are perpetuating without even recognizing it or realizing it. Things like saying, I don't see color. I don't see race. Because the only way that we could be okay is if you don't see the color of my skin. You know, like all these different little things that happen end up harming us. And if they do the work on themselves, then they won't end up harming us so much. And I want to tell you a personal story that I've never told on this podcast about my life to give you guys some context. And I think this will really help you have an understanding of where I'm coming from and how you might serve. So I grew up in a very interesting household. I never really share this. This is very personal. So I grew up in an interesting household. My dad is Black, African American. My mom is white passing, okay? And she is adopted into an Italian and Mexican family. So I need you to listen carefully. My mom was adopted, okay? The parents who adopted her, who are my grandparents, are one, my grandma is Italian and my grandpa is Mexican. And my mom has two brothers who are Italian. And so in my home that I grew up in, I was in this completely biracial house, which if you've listened to some of my old episodes, you would know that part of the story. But the reason I'm sharing this with you is this. When my mom decided to marry my dad, it broke up our entire family. My grandma has 9 brothers and sisters, 4 of whom I have never met in my entire life. Because when my mom chose to marry my Black father, my Italian aunts and uncles said they are never speaking to the rest of our family again if my mom goes through with this. That's how much racism was there in the family that I am a part of. And so it split our family in half. And so I have 4 great aunts and uncles who I know and love and who have been by my side and who are white, Italian, white, blue eyes, blonde and brown hair people. And then 4 of them who I've literally never met even and never spoken to because of the color of my skin. And so for my whole life, I've felt this dissonance or this gentle, not so gentle war happening even within my family unit, where people were not speaking to each other because of the color of my dad's skin, which is the same color of my skin. And this is big, because what it showed me was that there are 2 different kinds of white people out there right now. There are those on the side of equality and justice and who are doing the best that they can, but can continue to do more to dismantle white supremacy and who want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And for those of you out there listening who say, I don't know any of those white people, I need you to listen to me and trust me when I tell you that they exist. The world, people, there are more people that are good right now than are bad. The issue is those of us who are good, we need to come together. We need to stand together. The women who've had enough, my LGBTQIA plus brothers and sisters, my trans brothers and sisters, all of us, we have to come together and then we are the majority. And so the reason this work and this conversation to me today, specifically the part about what to do with your white friends is so important, is because these quote unquote allies, okay, are going to be a part of this next dawn of society where we are all coming together, okay? And if you're really on the side of equality and of justice, it's gonna be about all of us coming together. And so I'll share a couple other things with you since I started with this, what to do with your white friends, okay? So when your white friends, first of all, call you or text you saying they're so upset about what's happening and they don't know what to do and they start just talking. This is what's happened to me all week. They just pick up the phone. Hello. Oh my God, I'm just watching the news. I'm so sorry. Blah, all this kind of stuff, right? You have permission, my people. You have permission to immediately stop them in the middle of their sentence and say, hey, 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 I'm so sorry that you're feeling upset. But right now, this is not good for my mental health. I don't want to talk about this right now. And what you can ask them is, if you want to do something to help me, we can talk about that. But I don't want to talk about this right now. And if you do want to talk about it, okay? I'm not saying you can't talk about it, but if you do not want to talk about it, I need you to know that you have permission not to. I know if you're like me, look, I am a meditation teacher. And I'm having trouble keeping my mind right during this time. So I know how you are all feeling. And what I want to tell you is that we're dealing with the trauma getting hit with us from the media, the trauma of what has actually happened, the trauma of walking outside of our doors and being afraid, and then to deal with the trauma of our friends calling us to make us talk about it again while we're trying to work and live our lives and get our minds right and stay in a positive headspace is too much. It's too much. We're tired, and that's okay. And so what I need you to know is that you have permission to just stop them with love and with compassion, okay? Hey, I don't want to talk about this right now, and here's why. And you can explain to them why you don't want to talk about it. Or you don't have to. You could just say, I don't want to talk about it. You know, like, you don't have to pacify the white people in your life right now, okay? But if you feel called, you can explain to them why this is harmful, that they're texting and asking how you're doing. Like, how the fuck do you think I'm doing? Is what I want to say sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, how many times I got to answer this question today? And so you have permission not to, okay? So that's number one. Now, number two is I'm going to invite you not to worry about trying to change people's mind. That is not your job. But if you feel called to invite other white people who are asking you, what can I do, to do the work that they need to do, okay, that they need to do to help dismantle the system from the inside out, then here's what I'm going to invite you to do. My sister Layla Saad, who I've been talking about, she wrote a book called Me and White Supremacy. It is an incredible, incredible book. And I had the honor of interviewing her this past week on a free interview that I have online for a series that I did called The Woke Lab. And we did a whole series, a whole conversation on defying white supremacy. And that entire episode I have made available to you to listen to the replay. All you have to do is go to my website. I'll put a link in the description. It's justinmichaelwilliams.com/thewokelab. Okay, justinmichaelwilliams.com/thewokelab. And the best thing the white people in your life can do right now is not just make noise, that's important too, and not just post online, but to do the inner work. And this episode that I did with Layla, it's not on the podcast, it's a video. The episode I did with Layla is the most incredible first step. And they can also get her book. It's a 28-day guide to dismantling white supremacy in our lives and combating racism. And it's not for Black people to do. It's not a book for us to do. It's a Black woman who wrote this book to help white people dismantle the racism in their lives. And the reason why it's so important that they do this first is because when they post online, when they ask us questions, when they're out protesting with us, when they're doing this, they have a real deep understanding of how this system is actually working and how they might be upholding it without them even knowing it, especially the good white people, quote unquote. And I have lots of white friends, y'all, lots, okay? Lots. One of my best friends in the entire world is a white woman. And I have this past week and before this past week, but really this past week, I have directly said to them, I need you to watch this. And if they don't, I'm paying attention. Okay. And that's where you start to know some things, because people will tell you they want to do stuff for you or how can I help? But when you tell them how to actually help and they don't listen, that's giving you information that you need to know. Okay. So I wanted to start there. Okay. Because I know there's a lot of tension and a lot of question about, like, what do we do when people are looking to us and asking us? So I wanted to give you that. And now let's talk about us. Let's talk about what we do to make sure that in the middle of all this mess, that we are claiming the dignity and the sovereignty and the joy and the abundance that is our birthright. Because beyond this, we have lives to live. We have purposes to live. We have a calling to live out that is this one big life that we have. And our entire purpose and calling and energy cannot and should not, it is a disservice, it is a trauma for it to all be drained and sucked out of us because of the white supremacy that's causing problems in our world. And we're going to be dealing with this. The hard part to face, y'all, is that we are going to, for most of our lifetimes, it's going to be here. And so we have to understand, what are we going to do in the face of it and despite it, to live to the fullest capacity of who we are? And so I want to start with the first thing, all right? And I want to talk about something you probably aren't going to expect me to talk about right now, but it's about anger. It's about anger. And I want to say this, that what's been happening this week with George Floyd and beyond, this is much bigger than George Floyd right now, obviously. This whole thing is unspeakable. And I'm not here to tell you how you should feel or what you should do. My aim right now is to call upon that greatest power within you. That power within you that knows that something greater is possible, and to help you act from there. And so I want to talk for a moment about anger. And I need you to know that anger is not bad, my brothers and sisters. Anger is not bad. This is actually a part of what is upheld by white supremacy. White supremacy says, what happens with white supremacy is it makes whiteness the standard. And what happens with white supremacy is when black people get angry, or black people get mad, or black people get loud, or black people get this, it's different than the standard of the nice white person. And so it's looked at as bad. And so we have learned, we've internalized this, so many of us for ourselves, to say, I don't want to get too angry. I don't want to get too loud. I don't want to get too bad. Because what? It calls attention to us. And then we get judged and shamed and ridiculed for it. But what I want to tell you is that your anger is essential right now. It is important right now. And I don't want you to push it down. But what I do want to give you is a difference between anger and aggression. There is a difference between anger and aggression. Anger, healthy anger, is always coupled with love. Aggression is only here to cut things down. Now, when I say healthy anger is always coupled with love, that doesn't mean that a healthy anger won't burn down a Target or won't go tear some shit up, or doesn't get loud, or doesn't fight or stand strong in their power or scream with their voice for what they believe in. Healthy anger can look very powerful and very wrathful. And that is fine for healthy anger to look this way. But it's not coming from this place of aggression. It's coming from a place of love, being that the reason why I'm yelling, the reason why I'm raising my voice, the reason why I'm standing so strong in what I believe in, is because I love my people and equality and togetherness so much. That's why I'm angry, is because underneath that, there is such a deep love for something that I can't help but stand up for it. It's a kind of anger that a mother feels when something is happening to their children, right? That it's that kind of anger. It's the kind of anger that you guys have heard Tamika Mallory speaking so eloquently on that viral video that went out just a few days ago, when she was speaking so eloquently. If you haven't seen that, look up Tamika Mallory and the speech she just gave a few days ago. It's just a couple minutes long. That is healthy anger that's coming. It's cutting. It's hard. It's deep. It's real. It's in your face, but it's coming rooted in love. And that's the kind of anger we want to lean into, my people. And you hear, I don't know if you guys can hear it actually, but the helicopters I'm recording this episode in the middle of what feels like a war zone, internally and externally. There are helicopters circling around my house right now. And I feel angry. I feel angry. And that's okay. But when we lean into aggression only, aggression is when we start to cut things down and we start to do things out of vengeance. And we start to do things because we want people to repay and because of all these things. And that's not what this is about. That's not what's going to solve this. That same kind of violence that Tamika Mallory so beautifully said that we learned from colonizers, that same type of violence is not what's going to get us out of this. And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying, I want to be very clear here. I am not saying that you should not be out in the streets and doing what you're doing and having all that, we should not be out there, and that violence may not be necessary and force may not be necessary in some ways. I'm not actually in a place in my heart to make a value judgment there. Where I am is knowing that the anger that comes inside of your heart, I want you to lean into it because underneath that anger, there is love. And when the aggression comes in, that's okay. But I want you to lean away from the aggression and lean into the love of the anger and then see what the answer comes after that. See the answer that comes after that. Okay? The answers will come from within. I'm going to tell you that me getting on this podcast right now came from deep anger this morning. And I had to let go of my aggression and say, and I wanted to run out in the streets, y'all. Run out in the streets. I've been feeling so angry. And I had to lean into the love. I said, what do I really feel? I said, I love my people so much and I'm so mad. So what can I do from that place of love and anger, healthy anger, that would be in the highest service? And the highest service was for me to not even try to go to the studio, but to literally pull out my microphone and my computer in the middle of these helicopters circling and speak to you. Because that was what's in the highest good with the gifts and talents and skills that I have. And so you're going to see what they are for you. Maybe it's you create art. Maybe it's you go out in the street. Maybe it's you call your friends and create a Zoom session where you love up on each other. Maybe it's you take a bath. Maybe whatever it is that you need to be doing, you will know. So don't push down your anger. Lean into it, but lean more deeply into the love that comes from underneath it. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about when it comes to really claiming our power within this, and this is going to serve you long term, is about claiming your feelings. And, you know, it's really interesting because I remember when I was a lot younger, before I'd ever done therapy or ever done any of this, like I didn't know how to name my feelings. I had a very elementary understanding of how to name my feelings. Like when people would ask, like, how do you feel? You know, it's either, oh, I'm just like in a bad mood for no reason. I don't really know why. Or like, I'm tired or I'm irritated. You know, I'm mad. I'm sad. Like this very kind of A, B, C, D, E, F, G understanding of how to talk about what I was feeling. And one of the biggest transformations that has happened in my life, the earliest big transformation that happened for me, was learning how to name my feelings. Beyond I'm in a bad mood or I'm irritated or I'm annoyed or I'm just having a bad day or the worst, you know you're not naming your feelings when you say something like this. When somebody says, how do you feel? And you said, I feel like you or I feel like they, blah, blah, blah. That's not naming your feelings. What happens, let me say this. Naming and claiming your feelings does not disregard the awful things that others have done. It doesn't make them okay, and it doesn't make them acceptable. So I'm not telling you to let people off the hook for the ridiculous shit that is happening in our world right now. But I'm also saying that when we lean into and give ourselves the ability to name what we are feeling in any situation, it gives us our power back. And so what I invite you to do right now is to Google, do this while I'm talking, literally. It will help so much if you can see an example. And I've also put a link in the description of a thing called the emotions wheel. So I want you to Google, just Google the words emotions wheel, and then you'll see a bunch of different images pop up. And what you'll see is like this rainbow looking like circle that names all these different emotions that you might be having. I'm actually gonna pull one up right now. You'll hear me typing. So when you see the emotions wheel, you're going to see there's so many different emotions that we can name that we may not know. On the happy side, we might be feeling things like valued or proud or accepted or peaceful or trusting or sensitive or thankful or intimate or hopeful or inspired. And sometimes we don't even know how to name those things because we don't have the capacity or the language or the vocabulary. And then on the opposite, on the angry side of the wheel, sometimes we're just saying, I'm mad, or you don't even know how to know that you're mad, right? But other language that we have is I'm feeling bitter or humiliated or let down or withdrawn or numb or skeptical or dismissive or violated or furious or ridiculed or disrespected or resentful or betrayed. So there's all these words that we can use. And it's not just about the words. The reason why we have to know how to name these feelings and understand these words is because it gives us the agency and power to understand within ourselves what we're actually feeling. Because only from that place can we start to lean into the feelings, heal them, or change them if we want to change them. And so the first step is being able to name them. So I'm going to give you a task, okay, that I'll invite you to consider doing. The task is to set an alarm on your phone every single day at the same time. I'm going to be doing it with you, okay? Mine is set for 6:30 p.m. every single day just to ring as an alarm. And when that alarm rings, you just ask yourself, how am I feeling? And you close your eyes for a second. This takes 10 seconds and say, can I name the feeling? And then you try to name it, whatever it is in that moment. It could be anything. And then you open up the emotions wheel on your phone. You could save it as an image in your phone or in your notes. And then just look at it and say, wow, is there another word that better describes, or a group of words that better describe what I'm feeling right now? And I want you to just try that. It's so powerful, and it's going to teach you in action, in the moment, how to name and take ownership and claim your feelings. It's so powerful. Try it. I challenge you for 1 week, especially during this time when our emotions are all over the place, set the alarm, give it a shot, look at the wheel, see what arises every single time that alarm rings. All right. And now I want to get to my final piece of advice. And this is the number one thing that I have. So I talked about the number one thing when I was talking about us in relation to whiteness. And now I'm going to talk about the number one piece of advice that I have for you during this time. And for you, I'm speaking directly to you listening right now. And that is to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And I'm going to talk about this specifically and how to specifically do that right now. But before I do that, I want to read to you this section that I wrote in my book, Stay Woke, that feels very important to me right now. It's on page 276 for those of you who have the book. And it's on a practice called a self-care practice for activists, which I think we all have been awakened into now. Here's what it says. We are warriors for peace. We are warriors for love, warriors for change, warriors for equality. But we must also tend to the wars within. When you do not care for yourself, you internalize the very same oppression that you're fighting against. When you're exhausted, your capacity for compassion is limited. When you're out of alignment, it's hard to make the right choices, especially when you're under pressure, like we are right now. So I know you're spending time organizing and learning and marching and defending and protesting and posting and bringing people together. And I know it might feel like taking time for your self-care is stealing valuable time away from doing the actual work. But what we need right now is we need our warriors bright, and not just for your own sake. We need you so grounded that we feel safe following your lead. We need you so centered that you never stray from your values and vision. We need you so rested that you do not lash out on others during times of stress. And we need you to shine your light so brightly that anyone who is lost can find you. You are a lighthouse. You are a lighthouse. And your healing is essential to the liberation of our people. Amen. That is why self-care is so important in this time. Okay? Your self-care is not wasteful, because the solutions that we're looking for, the answers that we're looking for, have to be birthed from this space of possibility, this space of what's next. There's this quote that anybody who's been a part of any of the programs and the Woke Lab and the workshops and things I've been doing lately, you've heard me say this quote because it's been on my heart a lot. It's a quote by Michael Singer, and it says, no solution can possibly exist when you're lost in the energy of a problem. I want to say that again. No solution can possibly exist when you're lost in the energy of a problem. Okay? And so what happens so often is we see the problem, like what's happening right now in the world, right? We see the problem. And the solution that we're looking for is not going to come from us being lost in that problem. We have to get our minds and our hearts in the energy of the solution. Does that mean that we don't also have to deal with the problem head on? Absolutely. This is not about spiritually bypassing and saying, well, let me just meditate and keep my mind positive and then everything's going to work out. No, I'm saying both and. Yes, we have to fight. Yes, we have to protest. Yes, we have to do this outer work, this outer exaggerated big work to make people see that change is needed. We need to do that. And we have to take care of ourselves, because the actual solution to this is not just going to come from protesting. It's not just going to come from marching. It's not just going to come from posting. It's not just going to come from all that. That's going to do the work to help wake us all up in a way that puts the problem in our face enough that we end up doing the deep change work, and that white people end up seeing the problem in the way that they are now. I'm sure you guys are seeing more white people wake up than ever before. I saw, you guys should Google this, this group of white people who literally locked arms and stood between black protesters and the police yesterday. Things are changing. Things are changing. People are waking up. And so this is why the making noise is important. But at the same time as we're making noise, we have to put equal effort into taking care of ourselves and getting ourselves in the energy of the solution. Because the solution to all of this has to be birthed from a place of love. It has to be birthed from a place of joy. It has to be birthed from a place of possibility. And so here's what I'm going to invite you to do, right? Here's what I'm going to invite you to do every day, to make sure that you are committed to not just being in the energy of the problem, which is sometimes important right now for us to fight, but to also being in the energy of the solution. And these are things that I am personally doing and committing to deeply to make sure that I can be part of the solution as well with you. So number one is no news, no social media, no videos at all for 1 hour in the morning after you wake up. Please listen to me with this one, okay? Many of you have heard me talk about this before. Science has proven, this is not no woo-woo stuff. Science, modern science has proven that what we watch, hear, or listen to in the first part of our day has a consequential influence on the whole rest of our day, on our mood, on our emotional state, on our energy, on everything. And it's what we watch and what we think about and what we do the first thing when we wake up. And right now, given what's happening in the world, most of us are going to sleep and waking up with in this endless new cycle of trauma. And so you're going to get it all day already. And you're probably going to wake up thinking about it anyways. But what you have to do is make a commitment to yourself that I deserve this morning time. Because what I do in this time in the morning is going to set me up to actually be a stronger activist, to be a better person who can make a bigger difference in the movement and for my family, and to be strong and to be stable and to be able to move with my feelings and do all of those things, and to even be sensitive and vulnerable. Your ability to do all of those things and show up with your full capacity is going to be reliant on the level of self-care that you're putting in specifically in the morning. So, no news. Don't even open that Instagram account. Nothing, no social media, none of it in the morning for 1 hour. Even if you can only do 30 minutes, fine, but really try to do an hour. You deserve an hour of a break from this all day. And when you try to take the break later in the day, your brain is already having to recover from everything that you've already taken in. But when you do it in the morning, you're not having to recover so much because you're waking up and you're starting fresh. You may have to even recover from some of what you did the night before, okay? And if you want to take this to the next level, then what I'll recommend is not using your phone at all in the morning. Now, I know this isn't realistic for everybody because you have family and people and things that you have to check in on, but it's hard because I woke up in the morning and I wasn't looking at social media and I wasn't doing anything, but I had four friends who texted me articles and three friends who asked me how I was doing and white friends who asked me how I was doing, which I, you know, was very nice, but I was just like, ugh, like it just immediately put me in it. And so for me, I'm committed now to, I wake up, I meditate, I take a shower, I'll work out. Before I take a shower, I'll work out. And then after I've done those things that build me up and get me as centered as I can, then I check in with the world. Check yourself before you check your phone. All right? And then the last thing that I'm going to say about this taking care of yourself, this is the last thing, is that it is okay for you to also experience joy during this time. You must experience some joy during this time. Only being in the energy of the problem, only watching the news, only getting wrapped up in what the media story is telling us, only fighting, only being in the trauma over and over and over is actually killing us. If the police don't kill us, if all that doesn't kill us, the stress and the trauma that hits us again and again is going to kill us. And this is proven. It shortens our lifespan every time. Black people, it shortens our lifespan. And so it's okay to experience joy. So schedule it into your day. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to feel bad about it. Our people for generations have learned how to dance in the face of sorrow. That's what we do. That's what our people do. And so it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty. You are worthy and you deserve to experience joy and happiness within this. So schedule it into your week. Schedule that time with friends on the phone. Schedule that bubble bath. Schedule watching one of your favorite movies that just lets you kind of spin out. Schedule eating that. I love cake, like literally love cake. So I've been letting myself eat a bunch of cake this week. Like I'm like, I'm going to this place that has the best birthday cake, kind of confetti cake, and just eating it. Like schedule that joy in. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty about it. It's allowed. And so the last thing that I'll say before I close out with you today is that I love you so much. I love you. I've been gone for a couple of months as I've been really feeling into my heart of after 100 plus episodes of this podcast of what I want to share with you next. And my promise to you is that we're back, okay? I came back a week earlier than I originally planned because it felt so important for me to speak to you during this time. I want to be with you during this time. And what I'm going to invite you to do is to go to that Woke Lab website, which I put on the description as well. It's at justinmichaelwilliams.com/thewokelab. You know, I did a whole week of live conversations with a live studio audience. Think of it like a live podcast with hundreds of people from all over the world coming in to chat with some leading experts and me. And we're going to do more of those sessions, but I want you to have the recordings because this will help build up that self-care within you and also help you recognize that we're not in this alone. There's so much goodness out in the world. There's so much love out in the world. And the news and everything that we're seeing is making us think that there's more hate than there is, but there's not. It's just right now the powers that be have a grip and a force and a system of injustice that's so strong, but there are more of us. There are more of us. And the way that we're going to get through this is together. I love you. I thank you. I honor you. You are worthy. You deserve this. And you are worth every dream that your heart could desire. And the freedom, the absolute freedom that is your birthright. I love you, my brothers and sisters. This is Justin Michael Williams signing out. I will be on next week. I love you. I keep saying it over and over because I just want you to hear it from the depths of my heart and soul. I love you. And I will talk to you on the next podcast. Bye for now.